Good morning. So good to be with you this morning. If you'll be turning your Bibles to 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to begin in that text in just a few moments. I really enjoy the holidays, but I also really enjoy getting back to business. I think probably a lot of you are like me. It's nice to go and to see family and to relax, have some time off, but it's also good to get back at it and get to work. And so I'm looking forward to beginning the year and getting hard at work here with the congregation at Climbwood. What was also nice was going away for a few days and going to some other congregations and then coming back here this morning and seeing familiar faces. That was really nice. I've only been here a few months, so you can't imagine, I don't think, how much of a relief that was for me that I came in and saw faces and thought, oh, this is nice. I know these people, and that's good. And so I really appreciate the way that you've received us over the last few months of last year, and I really look forward to getting to know you even more in the years to come. So thank you so much for who you are. The beginning of the year is a great time for preachers. It's a great time for fitness places. We love this time of year because people are out here, your eyes are open, you're ready to receive things, you want improvement. Isn't that what you want? We all want to improve. We all want to grow. How many of you want to lose weight this year? You don't have to raise your hand. How many of you want to eat healthier? How many of you have made all these resolutions and goals for the coming year? But let me ask you this, as you reflect on last year, how did those work out for you? You look back at 2014 and you think about some of the goals that you set over the course of that year. How did all of that go? Maybe you did accomplish some of those goals and you feel good about them. But maybe there are some others, some that maybe were really important to you that you look back at and you realize, I just didn't get where I wanted to be. And there are things in life that get in the way of what we want to do sometimes, that hinder our plans, that don't allow us to grow in some areas in which we really need to grow. But one of those areas that we can't allow that to happen in is our spiritual growth and our growth among our brethren and our growth in our relationship with God. We just can't let that happen. So I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. And I want to launch with 2 Peter chapter 1 and just get the basic idea from this text and then move from there to talk about this idea of spiritual growth, about planned growth. Begin reading with me in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of its sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are probably familiar with the virtue list, as it's called sometimes there, this list of qualities that need to be added to our faith. And I do want to briefly talk about that and get that idea, but it's really the second part of this text from the reading that I really want to focus our attention on. This idea of these qualities increasing us, growing us, causing us not to be ineffective or unfruitful. What is the picture there that Peter wants us to see when he talks about not being ineffective, not being unfruitful? But the idea of being fruitful is the idea of growth, right? We put that plant in the ground and it is watered and the sun begins to hit it and it grows up out of the ground. The fruit begins to come off of that plant. And the idea there is it's starting small and now it's becoming something much bigger. And what Peter wants us to understand is that basic faith, this rudimentary type of faith, it's only a starting point for where we really need to be. And of course, all of us are in different places in our faith. There might be someone who has been baptized in the last few months. You've only begun studying maybe over the last year or so. And so your faith might be at a very low level compared to someone who's been a Christian for 50 years. And we would expect that to be the case. But the reality is all of us need to be improving. It might be that you're here this morning because you realize you need improvement and you want to improve. It might be that you're here this morning because you were made to come or you feel like you have to be here. You might be here because someone said you have to get up and come here this morning. No matter where you are in that scenario, there's improvement that is needed. For the person who recognizes they need improvement, there's certainly room for improvement. And I think all of us can see ourselves in that light. If you're just here because you think you have to be here, I hope that I can convince you that Christianity, that spiritual life is so much more than that, than just showing up at a building occasionally and singing some songs and saying some prayers with other brethren, that there's much more to life than just that. It can be so much greater. And if you are here because someone made you come this morning, I hope you'll be persuaded that this is the way of life. That what we find in Scripture are the words of eternal life. And it is so important for our eternal destiny that we receive Jesus Christ, that we understand who He is, and that we realize over the course of this next year, the most important thing I can do in my life is to grow closer to God, to have a greater knowledge of Him. And so that's why Peter gives us this list of things that we need to add to our faith. It's planned growth. We understand this in all other areas of life. If you're one of those people who wants to lose weight this year, or maybe you're someone who wants to gain muscle, there are people out there that want to do that. They go through processes, and they plan how they're going to do this. They're going to take supplements. They're going to try to get beefed up by doing all these other things that are going to help them. It's not just going to the gym. It's the way they eat. It's the things they put into their body. And same thing with losing weight. We understand that all of this is important. It's a comprehensive package to accomplish this goal. And so what Peter wants us to understand here is we need to beef up our faith. We need to be adding these supplementary things. And in fact, it uses that language here. He says, make every effort, we're going to come back to that, to supplement your faith. That needs to be added to. It's the idea of growth. It's the idea that we have to have some kind of plan in place. But let me ask you this, how do we make this happen? And your own mind already, hopefully, what I've done is made you think about some of the goals that you had last year or in years before. And think about some of your successes, but also thinking about some of your failures, how you didn't accomplish some of those goals, and why is it that we don't accomplish those goals? I want to go through some thoughts that I think will help us understand how we can be more effective in accomplishing the goals that we have, how we can be more effective in growing in our spiritual life, and how we can have plans and we can make them happen. The first of those is that we understand that vagueness equals idleness. Let me explain that a little bit more to you, that vagueness equals idleness. Yeah, there's all kinds of great goals that we can have. I can say, I want to pray more. Or I really want to study my Bible more this year. Or I'm going to come to church more regularly. Well, I commend you if you have those goals. Those are wonderful goals to have. And if there's an area of weakness that falls into any of those categories, it is certainly something that needs to be discussed and talked about. But let me say something about that. That is entirely too vague. If you began this year and your resolution or your goal was, I want to pray more. Well, let me ask you, how are you going to do that? Because if you don't have a plan, it's not going to happen. If you say, I really want to study my Bible more frequently this year, I want to have a greater knowledge of Scripture, if you don't have a plan in place, if you aren't specific about how that's going to happen, you're going to show up at the end of 2015, you're going to come to services in the last month of the year, and someone's going to bring up something about our resolutions for the beginning of this year, and you're not going to have accomplished that goal. You notice how specific Peter is about these supplements to the faith? These are things you need to add to your faith. You need to add virtue. You need to add knowledge and self-control and perseverance, steadfastness. Those are closely related ideas. but he's separating them. He wants to be very specific about the things that we need to be adding to our faith. That this is basic faith. It's just not enough. We need more of that. We need brotherly kindness. We need love. We need to see all of these areas of our life growing together in concert. We need to be becoming stronger in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. All of this is specific to what it means to be a growing Christian. So I'd suggest to you this morning that if we are vague about the goals that we have this year, they're just not going to happen. But we need to get more specific with them. We need to write some things down and pin in our calendar. We need to say, this is what I'm going to do, or these are the types of things I'm going to do. I'm going to have people into my home each month, or I'm going to have a study each month, or I'm going to go to a study each month, or I'm going to find ways to be together with other Christians, or I am going to be there every Sunday this year without fail, if at all possible. No excuses. We're going to talk about sacrifice here in a minute. Let me just throw this in here now. But sometimes that requires some things that are difficult, right? If we want to lose weight, that takes a lot of effort. If we want to gain muscle, that's going to take a lot of effort. We can't just sometimes go and sometimes not go, wake up when we feel like it and show up at the gym and when it feels right. That's not going to be an effective way to do it. And if we just go out saying, well, I just want to lose some weight, I guarantee you it's not going to happen unless we have a plan. Unless we get specific about it, believe me, I've been going through this process. Last 4 months haven't been good for me in terms of my working out. I've gained some weight over that time. So I have to have a plan to make sure I'm not going to keep doing that. And I think we all understand that. But when it comes to our spiritual life, what is our plan? What is your plan this morning? Have you grown over the course of the last year? The first Sunday, January 2014, when you were sitting in the pews like you're doing this morning and you had some plans and some goals in mind and you thought, I want to be more spiritual. I want to do all these things right this year. How much has that happened? Now, I'm not trying to be overly critical this morning because, as I've already said, you might have accomplished some of those things. I just want us to think about that. I want us to think about the process that we use to get where we are. Now, if there was no process, you're likely thinking, I didn't do what I wanted to do. If there were no specific plans, you're probably thinking, I didn't accomplish that over this year. And maybe some of us did, just by happenstance, accomplish some things because of the influence of others or just activities that were done by other people that we could be a part of. And so we did accomplish some of those goals that we had. But the reality is, if we are not specific about them, if we're not looking precisely about what we want to do, just like we would do in anything else in life in which we want growth, if it's not that important to us, then it's not going to happen. And so the first thing that we need to understand is that vagueness is idleness. That we need to be specific about the plans that we're making. We need to be specific about the goals that we need to make. Someone that I have a lot of respect for, who is very wise, told me, and I'm going to pass this along to you, just set one goal. If you can accomplish one goal every year, you will go a long way. And so maybe that's the problem sometimes that we have, that we have four goals or five goals or eight goals, things that we write down that we want to accomplish. And so when being spread across all these things we want to do, we don't accomplish them to the extent that we really want to. But if we could just set one thing, I really want to understand the book of Matthew this year. And so I'm going to give myself for the next 52 weeks to read that book and to study it and to find all the material I can that's going to help me over the course of this next year. Just think about the type of growth we could have. And all of you who are Bible students, you realize when you dig into one book like that, it opens windows into all kinds of other areas in Scripture. I'll have more to say in a later sermon about daily Bible reading, but I think sometimes we hurt ourselves in that too, and that we're trying to get such breadth in our reading that we don't get a lot of depth, and so we miss such good content because we're trying to race through a plan. We want to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We want to grow in our spirituality. We want to have specific plans that we can reach, that can be attained. The second thing we need to understand is that true change takes sacrifice. How many of us sacrificed some sleep over the last few weeks to do some things that we wanted to do? if you're like me, you probably did a lot of driving, or maybe you stayed up really late to visit with some of your family who was in town. We are sacrificing something that's pretty important, our sleep, for something else that we value to be more important. And we're willing to do that on a lot of occasions. I can remember many times when I was tired and someone called and said, "Hey, you want to get up and go play golf at 7 in the morning?" And I said, "Yeah, I'll be there." You know why? Because I wanted to play golf. So I was willing to sacrifice some sleep to get up and do that. And I'm sure all of us have things like that in our life where we're willing to give up some things that are pretty important to us, whether it's sleep or our time or our money, because it's that important to us and that we want to make this happen. What about our spiritual life? What about areas of growth when it comes to our spirituality? What are we willing to sacrifice to make that happen in our life? It's pretty important. He says in Romans chapter 12, Paul does, in discussing the idea of where we need to be in our relationship with God, he says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, I urge you," he's saying, "by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Here's what Paul says. He says, if you want transformation, if you want to be changed from the inside out, what that means is you're going to have to be living sacrifices. That means we're going to have to give some things up. In fact, we have to give up our life. Jesus makes that point numerous times. If you want to be my disciple, he says, you have to take up your cross and follow after me. That's sacrifice. That means giving up who I am or who I used to be to be something else, because I value that to be something greater than what I was. So being in Christ, if we value that as being something greater, being the new man, if that is so much beyond who we were, we need to sacrifice that old man and put it away. "Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh," Peter says, "arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God." He says you should even be willing to suffer physical persecution, being ridiculed by people around you. If it's that important, if being in Christ and being a follower of Christ, if it is that valuable to us, it's worth great sacrifice. And so if we want to grow in these areas that Peter mentions in 2 Peter, in virtue, knowledge, self-control, and godliness, brotherly kindness, love, not only is it going to take a specific plan to make it happen, but we think about the process by which we're going to make this happen this year, it's also going to require some sacrifice. It's going to mean that sometimes I have to give up some things that I want to do because I realize something else is better. Maybe I need to give up some of my Facebook time to spend some time with some real people in real situations. It'd be a great thing to do, I would think. By the way, those of you who are in college, I would suggest this in your normal life: get off your computer and actually go speak to people face to face. That would be really good. Sometimes we need to be helping people. We can serve. In fact, Paul makes this point in Romans 12. That's what he gets to eventually. He talks about we're all members of one body in that part after I just read in verses 1 through 3. And so he says, you take the gift that you've been given. By the way, only one of those, prophecy, is some kind of miraculous gift. The rest of them are not. In service or in charitable giving or leading with zeal. All those things, are whatever we can do, we need to do that to the best of our ability. And not only just for our own benefit, for our own growth, but also for the growth of the body, which he also talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, how important this is that we're growing as a group. But that comes from our recognition, our realization that I as an individual need to be growing in my spiritual life. And when I do that, I'm supplying to the body what it needs as best I can, which allows us all to grow together to become one, as we just sang about. And so what is it that we're willing to sacrifice? Are we willing to sacrifice some leisure time to study a little bit more? Are we willing to sacrifice an A on a school assignment, young people? Well, parents, don't get upset. I'm not saying that you shouldn't spend time on your homework and your schoolwork, because I think that you should. But you know what? Our spiritual life is infinitely more important. There are a lot of faithful, people who never got beyond a middle school education, and they're just fine. And we are so blessed in our country that we have a great education, that we have such great knowledge. And in reality, we shouldn't really have to sacrifice those grades if we're working hard and consistently throughout the time that we have to do them. But I just know in my own life growing up, there were times when I waited for the last week or the last day or the last few minutes to do an assignment that I should have been doing before, and then the temptation says, well, I just can't go do whatever it is, whether it's worship or going to someone's house for a Bible study or just spending time with other Christians, which would be very valuable to do and should be set as a priority in our life, that it's so important that we are together. How much do we talk about that and sing about it? Sometimes we just have to sacrifice some other things to make that happen. If we want true change, if we want that metamorphosis, if we really want to become something new and be transformed, there's going to be sacrifice involved. And it's not just giving some money on the first day of the week, as we should be doing to help the work of the Lord and the kingdom. That's an important thing that we do, but that's not the only sacrifice. There are a lot of other things that we have to do, we have to sacrifice, that we have to give up if we really want growth. And I can't really get specific with you. I can get specific with me because I know me and I know the things that I do and the things I want to do or the things that I need to give up or the things that get in the way of my own growth. But each one of us has to analyze that for ourselves and make wise choices in the moment. Would I really give up sleep to go do this other activity when I'm saying, well, I just can't make it to your house tonight, or I can't make it to worship because I'm tired? Sometimes that's legitimate, and we don't want people out there being dangerous because they're too tired to be out. But I'm also convinced that sometimes it's just a matter of sacrifice. And if we really want the things Peter's talking about here, we're going to have to say, I'm willing to give up some other things. And then there is the third of these, to stay committed. It's hard. Sometimes maybe we give something up, but we don't see the immediate fruit from that. How is this making me grow, we might think. I gave up something that was so important, but then it's not just immediate that I have this growth in my life. Why am I doing this? Stay committed. I love the way that Peter talks about this, being in verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective. Maybe the benefit of that moment is it's keeping you from being ineffective or unfruitful. And then in verse 9, whoever lacks these qualities, the building up of our faith, the supplementing of our faith, whoever lacks these qualities, he says, is so nearsighted that he is blind. You know what that means? He can't see into the future. He only sees in the moment. Sometimes we have to see beyond the immediate time. We have to broaden our time horizon and see how this is going to affect us months or years down the road. That it's not just about this day or this week. That this is something much bigger than that. And that we're trying to see beyond the moment and realize how valuable this is to our entire life. Therefore, he says in verse 10, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. I don't think he's saying here that we're never going to make mistakes or even that we're never going to sin. There's a difference between those things and being dedicated and being devout and realizing we've done that and turning to God and asking for forgiveness and falling away from God. But if we are adding, if we're supplementing to our faith, if we're really interested in true growth, he says, you will never fall away. So what will help? Let's talk about some ways in which we can help make this happen in our life. I think the first of these is that we just have a substantial and meaningful prayer life. That we understand that we need to be in contact with God on a regular basis. We need to be communicating with Him often. We need to be telling Him the things that we need and the things that we want. We need to have a relationship with God That shows that we are interested in the things that he wants us to do. We know that he has things for us in Scripture, that he has told us what he wants from us. He has expectations, and so we are in regular communication with him, and we know that we want to grow, we want to be stronger. The only way that we're going to make this happen is through this regular, meaningful, focused type of prayer life. I don't think this is extremely complicated. It could be something as simple as praying at set times every day. Let me stop here for just a minute and talk about organization and planning, because I think this is something that needs to be discussed quickly. I think sometimes we think that planning and being organized just isn't heartfelt spiritual religion. There could be nothing further from the truth. This idea that only real spirituality is just born in the moment, and that we just have this outburst from our heart, and that's what true worship is, this emotional type of idea. That is a product of our society. I want you to think about what we find in Scripture, a whole book of prayers and songs. In fact, we sing a book of songs that's organized, that's planned, and we don't think that's unspiritual. But the idea that emotional and spiritual somehow are intrinsically tied together is just not correct. Or the idea that a good prayer is one that we come up here and we just say it from the heart without any kind of plan. Kind of a modern idea. That's why you have a lot of written prayers in time past. And I've been glad to see some of you have come up here very planned, and you have things written out when you pray, and your prayers are great. So don't ever think that true spirituality is just something that gushes from the heart in the moment. It's much more than that. It can be planned. It can be organized. And in fact, sometimes when it's not organized, things are not quite as spiritual as they really could be. So maybe we can set some really easy types of plans. Maybe pray when we get up. Pray in our meal times. A lot of us do that already. Pray before we go to bed. But just be in a regular prayer. You can set it up how you want to be. There's no rule about how you can set up your prayer life. You just plan it in a way that's going to be effective. And then there is the need for accountability. In fact, that's one reason why we come together on a regular basis, as 1 Corinthians 14 points out. It is to encourage and to uplift each other. And that is one of the main purposes for our assembly, that we see others struggling the same struggle that we have. We see others trying to live by faith the same way that we're trying to live by faith. And so we get to know each other, and we are interested in each other's lives. And so by doing so, we become accountable to each other. And then the last of those is worship. Worship is a powerful tool in our own life in recognizing who we are in relationship with God. The reason that we come and we worship God is because he is so far above us, there are not even words that can express that effectively. And so when we realize that importance in our life, and we are regular in doing that, we are here as often as we can be, and we are singing praises and glorifying God as the creator of the world, the sustainer of the world, and the planner of salvation through his son, Jesus Christ, and we realize that without him, we are absolutely nothing. It is then going to push us to greater service. And so in some senses, there is nothing greater than what we can do when we come together and we sing and pray and recognize God for who he really is. That it is a regular, consistent reminder of my need to be growing, to be supplementing my faith. The very fact that you're here this morning indicates that you want to grow. You want to improve in some way. Even if it's just that you want to improve a relationship with somebody that maybe made you come. I'll tell you the best way to do that is to be right with God. That's to be in Christ. And so if we can help you do that this morning, don't hesitate to ask for that help. It may be that you recognize this morning that you are not in Christ, that you have not given yourself to him. You have not made that sacrifice. You have not taken up the cross and followed after him. If that's where you are this morning, make it happen. Recognize you don't have to know everything that there is to know in Scripture. It's a big book, and there's a lot to learn, and you don't have to know it all. But what you can know is that Jesus Christ was sent from above by the Father, and he came to accomplish the will of God, and that will was to save man from his sins and destroy the works of the devil, and you can be a part of that. You can give your life to him. You can become a new creature. You can put on Christ at baptism and come up out of the water in newness of life. And you can begin this year
the best way possible, and that is serving Christ in your life. If you recognize in your life that you haven't been doing that you are a Christian, you've done that in the past, but you haven't been as committed as you need to be, make it a goal this year. Get specific about it. Be willing to sacrifice. And understand you need some staying power. Can we help you with that? Why don't you come as we stand and we sing together?
Who will follow Jesus, standing for the rock?